This podcast contains explicit content and is not suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to Always the Last to Know. I'm Ash.
I'm Katie.
Bam, bam, bam.
What's going on, Katie?
Oh, you know, just done with my semester and it feels Yay! So good.
Yep. Yay!
Very stoked. Ended with my same GPA, 4.0. What up, bitch?
Ugh,
you're and amazing. Things are doing good. Thank you. I feel alive right now.
You're very emotive right now.
It's amazing. Nice. I can't even begin to express how much work this has been. It's been rewarding, whatever. I'm so happy. I'm very thankful.
Yeah, but it's also exhausting.
I'm so tired and it's exhausting and I'm so thankful to be done. Had a crazy week. My car got recalled. My battery might light on fire. Gonna get that checked out on Monday. Made an appointment for that. That way they can go in and be like, no, your battery's not gonna light on fire. You're good. Or they can be like, yeah, it is. Shit, don't drive this car. So we'll figure that out. Things are solid. Oh no, Mike has COVID. Things are balanced. Some good, some bad, you know? Yeah, how are you?
You just told me about that and I already forgot. Oh, okay. What is happening? I have my work holiday party this weekend, which is exciting.
That's going to be so fun. If you are listening to this episode on the way to the PA Yuletide Ren Fair, Ashley and I will be there together.
Mm-hmm.
Come say
Sunday,
hello.
Sunday the 10th.
Sunday the 10th.
I'm just excited that I'm finally getting to go to the Ren Fair, and I think it's hilarious that it's on the last day, because it would be. That's my style.
Snuck it in.
Just get right on in there. So I'm really excited for that.
I'm so fucking pumped. Krampus is gonna be there. What up?
Yes. Dude, when I saw that it was 2 hours and 20 minutes away, I was like, fuck it. I'm going.
Let's go. Why not?
That and let's see what else. Saturday morning, I'm gonna be volunteering at the Manville Food Pantry. It's our last one for the year. I don't know. I feel like it's just crazy because with the holidays and everything, I feel like every week I've got a bunch of stuff to do. And then at the end of the month, I'm going to Florida, but I have to go visit my nephew and my brother. That's the exciting part is seeing them. The part is the fact that it's Florida. So. But sunshine on my skin. Yay.
That nice.
Yeah. My dad and I, so what we usually do like the past few years, because my dad likes to have his car down there because he stays down there for like several months so that they can see my nephew for a while. We usually drive down, which is like a 2-day thing. I gotta be honest with you, after last year and like we got to the town that we were staying in overnight halfway through the trip and a water main was out.
Oh my God, that's right.
Didn't have water. It was insanity the entire time down. My dad's back was killing him. And he was like, okay, this year we're going to drive to DC and then hop on the auto train and take the auto train down. He got us one of those sleeper cars, which fucking love the train. So I'm really excited for this. And I've never done the auto train before. You know, it's like taking your car on a ferry.
Yeah.
You just pull your fucking car onto the train and then you get off. You go do your train shit. You do your train shit. I'm really excited about
that. That's
going to
be so fucking fun. You need to get a good audiobook for the occasion. Like a good murder mystery. Ideally on a train.
Just
saying.
I can find something. That stuff exists.
There's so many options, wildly enough.
So that's what I got going on.
Hell yeah.
I just want to thank everyone who has bought merch from the merch store. It's been really exciting seeing those orders come in. And we have been getting some messages about things that y'all would like added to the store, so we are working on more stuff actively. I do want to mention, if you've bought any of our shirts, any of our like print shirts, please make sure that when you wash them that you turn them inside out so that you can keep the print looking as good as possible for as long as possible. That's like a really good trick. I washed mine today and my washer is like super rough on clothes and I washed it inside out and it was perfectly fine. I always get like nervous about stuff like that because I just want it to be so perfect for everyone.
Same.
But yeah, you know, just wash it inside out, keep it looking as good as possible for as long as possible. Just a reminder.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes I've been doing laundry for a long time because at my first boarding school they made us. So like I started doing that shit at 11, but not everybody got taught how to like do laundry. So like if you have print shirts, not just ours, but any print shirt, life hack, turn them inside out to wash them.
Yes.
I also was recently reading about some laundry tips. Towels, specifically. In my house, I have a washer, but not a dryer. So I can go to the laundromat if I want, or I can just wash it and then, like, air dry it. So that's what I've been doing for most of my stuff because I got a hanger. But the towels, when you air dry, just don't have the softness that they get in the dryer. So I was reading about that. You're supposed to paddle them or, like, hit them against things.
Oh,
and that, like,
interesting.
Loosens them up. Yeah, I usually do like a thing. Feel free to save that video. I did that just for you. I'll let you enjoy that moment. You good?
I had to die off mic for a second.
So I usually do one of those. But, you know, it's a lot. I have a lot of towels to wash. So I was reading about it, but apparently you're supposed to not wash your towels with your other clothes because it can be not cool for the fabric of towels because they're, like, specifically, like, absorb, you know? It was a lot better explanation than that.
I totally understand what you mean.
But that's what I took from it.
I'm picking up what you're putting down. I get it.
So I have actually started separating my towels from the rest of my laundry. Haven't necessarily noticed a difference. Ugh, dude, I'm so weird about my towels. Just love a good, you know, I just want to be, I can't, you know.
You also love a good towel pile.
Oh. You know I do. Somewhere exists a video of just my insanity when it comes to where my towels end up post-shower. And I bet right now some people are thinking, like, yeah, I'm really bad about it too. Not as bad as I am.
It's so much so that we were talking about some issue.
We were talking about partners setting boundaries. And Mike had set a boundary with me.
Mm-hmm. About the towels.
About my towel problem.
I don't know if you sent it to me to prove it to me, where you were like, look at how bad this was at one point, and now I've, like, changed it, and here's my solution. But I was like, damn, that really is... You walked down the hallway, and it was just, like, towels down the hallway. Mm-hmm.
So what it was Mike had spoken to me in the past about my towel problem. And there were a lot of times where I was like, you're overreacting. This isn't that big of a deal. And then we had a SpongeBob moment in that episode of SpongeBob where he was showing Patrick all of the diapers when they were taking care of the baby clam. And it's like all of the furniture is made of diapers and the house is made of diapers. So Mike was SpongeBob and he was like, this. And it was literally like a towel just like on the floor as if I just dropped it on my way out of the shower. Then there was a towel on top of the vacuum handle as if I had another one that I just like plopped as I was walking. There's one behind the door. There's like a bunch on the floor and like another one like straight over the clothes.
A towel for every appendage.
Just everywhere. And so then I got better about it. And then at one point Mike was like, hey, this doesn't need to be a whole big thing, but all I need to say is towels. And I was complaining to Ashley and I was like, this motherfucker, I never. And then I looked around and I was like, oh shit. He has a point again. Mike has a point again. And I took a video, sent it to Ash and was like, if I ever hear this motherfucker say the word towels, he's probably right. I own my bullshit. Oh my it's God. Fine. I'm working on it.
Yeah, yeah. And it helped relate to the thing that I was having an issue with. So
yeah,
it was a good lesson.
We're not all perfect. I'm one of those people who's like, gets so upset when other people's stuff is like slightly out of order. But then I'll like look over at my towel mess and be like, but I understand this mess. This makes sense.
This is my mess.
And Mike will have like an extra beer can. And I'm like, what are you doing? This is chaos. And I have like 12 cans. And I'm like, but this is my chaos. This is Katie's chaos dream house.
This chaos makes sense.
All right, now I need a shirt that says Katie's Chaos Dreamhouse. Yep, that was a huge tangent. I have a lot more energy now that I'm not in school, guys. Thanks.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
It's wild.
I'm here for it. I don't really have much else of an update or anything like that, so do we want to just get into it?
Yeah, we can just go into the episode for sure. we had talked last week about how I wanted to do an episode on Henry Kissinger, but I needed a full week off from school, which I have not gotten yet. So rather than doing that, I figured I would just kind of give an update on some of the topics that I covered this year and what's going on with them.
Nice.
So first, we're going to talk about the death penalty. NPR says executions are on the rise in the U.S., even as public support wanes. End quote.
What the fuck?
I know, a lot of these are, like, not the updates I was hoping for at all. Yeah, it was a huge bummer.
That's not something that you want to hear is on the rise. Mm-mm. Especially if people don't fucking want it.
Yeah. So they go on to say that nationally, executions are climbing for the second year in a row, with Texas and Florida accounting for more than half of them, according to the year-end report.
Shocker.
I know. By the Death Penalty Information Center. What a wild fucking thing that we have.
The fact that there's a need for that is pretty outlandish.
It's insane. 24 people have been put to death so far in 2023, up from 18 last year and 11 in 2021. Do you want to guess why we had such a big increase? It has something to do with Florida.
Yeah, that's, I'm like trying to think of like what laws they instated that they put the death penalty in.
It has something to do with someone in Florida.
I know, fucking Ron DeSantis. He's putting all these crazy fucking bills together. He's putting support behind crazy shit that is like literally sentencing people to insane things for their charges.
Yeah.
Or just like the fact that people are being charged at all for some of the shit that they've put bills in for is...
Yeah.
Ah! Florida's crazy!
NPR says...
DeSantis is crazy.
That the center found that the increase can be attributed to Florida's return to executions after a three-year pause. As Governor Ron DeSantis launched his presidential campaign, he also switched the voting requirement for what it took to impose the death penalty. Before, it had to be a unanimous vote was required. Mm-hmm. Now all that's required is an 8-4 jury vote to recommend the death sentence, which is, for the record, the lowest threshold in the county. Country, I believe. It says county. I'm 100% sure it's supposed to be country.
This is definitely a typo.
For fucking sure. So Florida imposed... The state carried out 6 executions, which is the highest number since 2014, and it imposed 5 new death sentences, the highest number of any state in 2023. Like, this motherfucker.
Why do you want to kill people so much?
It's like, weird.
There's something wrong with you, fucking weirdo.
We usually refer to that as a psychopath and a serial killer, but... That's actually just Governor Ron DeSantis. It's wild.
And his weird fucking heels and his cowboy boots, you fucking weirdo.
Okay, if those are as tall as we hypothesize that they are, I need someone to get me some fucking Converse in those same heel stats. Because my legs would look banging and my feet would be much more comfortable. It is a bummer that he's always wearing long pants because that would confirm whether or not it was a high heel. If we just saw him in shorts and those boots, we would know for sure.
Well, with the cowboy boots, people think that there's a lift on the inside.
I know. And I want that in my Converse.
Do you see how the toe of it like curls up? He looks so weird.
He looks like a cartoon character. It's very, very weird.
Very cartoonish.
The remaining court-ordered deaths were limited to 3 states. Alabama, which killed 2 inmates after 3 botched executions last year, which we talked about. Missouri carried out 4 death warrants, including the first known execution of an openly transgender woman, Amber McLean. In Oklahoma, after a brief moratorium and internal investigation into failed execution attempts of the previous year, the state carried out 4 of its 11 scheduled executions. This is all from NPR.
I feel like if you fuck up that many times, you just shouldn't be allowed to do it.
Right?
Like, you get that privilege, feels weird to call it that, but you get that taken away, because if you can't do this right, then you shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, you get one shot. He got the death penalty just because it didn't take. Now he should just go back to jail. It's not right. They, for the first time since 2000, Americans were surveyed on the death penalty, And a poll found that more people believe the death penalty is administered unfairly, 50%, than fairly, 47%. Wild that 47 people are like, yeah, no, it's fair. I hate that That's number. Crazy.
The fact that it's like so almost evenly split really weirds me out.
It's very weird.
Guys, we should not want to kill people.
No. Support overall for the death penalty is at 53%. And that is the lowest on record since 1972. So people since 1970s are like, maybe we shouldn't be doing this. A quote from Robin Maurer, executive director of the Death Penalty Information Center, said, "The data shows that most Americans no longer believe the death penalty can be imposed fairly." Which, yes, yeah. I think that that's pretty fucking obvious. Like I said, I wish that was a better update. I was like so pumped. I was like, yeah, I bet these are going to be so cool and so interesting. So when that one wasn't, I was like, awesome. But I know what will 100% be fascinating. What's going on with Cleopatra's tomb? It's been a year. The underground tunnels, under the water, Kathleen Martinez, she's got to be doing great shit. Quote, "Guests who fork over at least 16,950 euros, which is about just over $18,000 per person, can spend 6 days tracing the work of archaeologist Kathleen Martinez on her hunt for Cleopatra and Mark Anthony's long-lost tomb." End quote. Yes, you can now buy a luxury expedition experience to go be a part of Cleopatra's potential excavation.
They turned it into an amusement park for rich people.
Uh-huh.
Well, like...
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Could we desecrate it more? Are you fucking serious? Could it
be any fucking worse?
How? I thought Egypt had, like, really strict rules on, I mean, money can buy anything, but Jesus, how?
So I can tell you a little bit more about my theory. I think they probably needed funding for the excavation itself, and this is how they're planning on doing it, which, creative, that's creative. From Cairo to Alexandria, guests will be, oh, this is from their website. Guests will be immersed into the history of ancient Egypt, with visits to the Grand Egyptian Museum before it opens at the end of 2023. They will also have the chance to interpret ancient manuscripts with an archivist at the Alexandria National Museum. Whilst with Dr. Martinez, guests will watch a live excavation and restoration work at the temple, explore the shafts and tunnels that the team have uncovered, and will learn how the artifacts such as bones, pottery, jewels, coins, and sculptures are identified and used as clues in the process. They'll also observe the cutting-edge robots that will be deployed to digitally chart the area of the now complex tunnels, and will see how a digital model is being constructed of the tunnels and structures that Dr. Martinez believes guards the tomb of Cleopatra.
So while I love that we want to educate people on this, I think a better option than letting rich people come in and walk all over everything and start touching shit, in wanting to be respectful and in preservation, film it and show it to them. Like a Discovery Channel fucking documentary. But it's the letting them into this incredible historical artifact and letting them play around in it. Oh, I
they're
can't.
Just gonna let them go to the tunnel and watch. It's literally like the beginning of Jurassic Park with this rich motherfucker inviting rich friends to be like, look at what I've done. If anyone is being invited to this, it should be the archaeologist and the archaeologist students of Egypt and the local area who can come and learn from Dr. Martinez as this is being excavated.
Yeah. It just feels like we're turning this historical landmark into a plaything for rich white people.
Yep.
Don't love that.
It's a 6-day trip where guests will stay at the Four Seasons and have the option to extend their stay and visit another oasis where it's believed that Egyptian kings and queens visited to benefit from the healing powers of the waters. So I pulled a lot of these quotes because I felt like it did kind of give small updates into what's going on. So one of them, they said, now complex tunnels, which means that they've excavated quite a few tunnels from before when they just found a small portion that led to the water. Mm-hmm. So now it's a complex structure. Fucking dope. Sweet to know. And Dr. Martinez, you can join her in her, quote, exploration phase. So they haven't necessarily found anything. They're just mapping this whole thing out, which gives us kind of a better understanding of where she is in the timeline of this excavation. I'm wondering if, because it's been so long, they kind of ran out of funding from the government without finding anything. And the government was kind of like, we were hoping the exploration phase would be over by now. So this is probably her way of getting other money. It still fucking sucks. So they've started September and October and November of this year, or you can join her throughout 2024. The price includes, again, 16,650 euros, includes all accommodations, activities, transfers, and some meals. One thing that I did find really interesting is that some people are now saying, really more focusing on the fact that they think that Cleopatra actually may have been murdered rather than taking her own life. And they're hoping that discovering her body will prove that Mark Anthony and her weren't actually like lovers, but that he double crossed her and killed her and took down Cleopatra. That would be fucking wild. Wild. Not the update I wanted. Not at all. I was very bummed.
You're like, again.
Then I went on to look at JFK. I've been reading through the released documents in the small free time that I've had. Haven't really found anything. It was the 60th anniversary recently. I was hoping something interesting would happen. Dallas was apparently bumping. God, I wish I went. Wish I had thought about that. One thing that the podcast Sinisterhood pointed out, because they just did a live show in Dallas a couple months ago or so, was that they find it really interesting that every person who's running for president is like, I'm going to release the JFK documents. And then if they win, they're like, oh, fuck, I can't release these. Never mind. Shit. Which just makes it even more suspicious. Then as I was like kind of looking through things, I saw that Jacqueline Luth is a producer of a new documentary called JFK, okay. What the Doctors Saw. And I was like, oh, interesting. What is that about? So the documentary itself is supposed to be allegedly about stunning revelations from doctors who were in the ER at the hospital, not the naval autopsy. Mm-hmm. You can stream this now on Paramount Plus. I don't have it. I haven't watched it, full transparency. But I did find a Boston Globe article that talked about the five takeaways of it, three of which were totally bullshit takeaways, like Jackie was steadfast and held her own the entire time. And like the autopsy was done by insufficiently trained people. It's like, yeah, that's not a takeaway. They straight up said, we've never done this.
They were like, we've actually never done this kind of procedure. Like, they literally said that.
Yeah.
We know.
Exactly. So not really a lot of takeaways. So like, don't run to Paramount Plus to get access to this documentary. I'm not, is what I'm saying. Here are the other things. Quote, official records and subsequent investigations into the Kennedy assassination maintain that the president was shot by a lone gunman from behind. The Parkland doctors offer a different assessment. In the documentary, they talk at length about the injury in Kennedy's neck, which they 100% believe now that it was an entrance wound from a shot that came from the front of him. They also discussed that the Bethesda team didn't reach out to confirm any details about Kennedy's treatment until after the autopsy was finished, which means that any of the notes that they have will cite things down that like could have been done by the doctors. For example, the Parkland doctors performed a tracheostomy on Kennedy, inserting the tube in an allegedly already existing neck wound. However, the Bethesda doctors were unaware of this and believed the wound was only from the tracheostomy, that thing, and not the gunshot wound itself.
Is it tracheostomy?
I think it's supposed to be, but that's not how I spelled it.
Okay.
Because that's not what my notes say, but yeah, I think so.
Wait, because I think I know what...
I know a tracheotomy.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's similar.
Yes, a tracheostomy is a procedure to help air and oxygen reach the lungs by creating an opening into the trachea from outside the neck. This is from hopkinsmedicine.org.
Oh, fascinating.
It also has tracheotomy above it, too, so they're definitely related. I mean...
Potentially interchangeable.
Right? Because I feel like on TV shows, I hear them say tracheotomy.
Same.
Oh, they just did that in, oh my God, Murder at the End of...
they did do that. Yeah. You're so right. You're so right.
Anyway.
They go on to say, like, had they called us, they would have known that the wound was not just from that, but, like, also from something else.
Oh, that's interesting.
And said that, like, they didn't have all of the information because they never called us to get it until after.
Yeah.
They didn't call until after. I was like, okay, that's not a lot of stuff. So I popped on over to Vanity Fair, which had an article discussing the two Secret Service agents who were tasked with guarding Jackie Kennedy that day. Mm-hmm. And they have a book coming out, The Final Witness, that was published in October. It came out already. It was published in October. And Landis, Paul Landis, one of the guys, claims to have seen something that afternoon that he had not previously admitted. And what he said was that he saw a bullet that was resting on the back of the seat behind them, and he took the bullet and brought it to the hospital. So he's the one who put the bullet on the stretcher that becomes known as the magic bullet.
Okay.
Where people were like, how did it get there? That doesn't make any sense. So he says that he put it there, which would then change the trajectory of all of that stuff. I feel like it's important to note that they have something to gain, you buying their book.
It's like, do we believe you?
It would make sense if someone did put it there, but it just seems, this just seems like a weird time and a weird way with something to gain rather than any other way that they could have done this at any other point.
It could be true, because with the chaos of the day, things probably did get mishandled, as we definitely know.
But
it's the 60th anniversary, you had a book come out.
Yeah, a little up in the air. Otherwise, not a lot going on with JFK. His unfortunate nephew is making a fool of himself. It's a real bummer.
Someone down the street from the funeral home has one of his signs in their yard, and I drive past it every day that I go to work. And I just laugh, because, like, really? Really?
It's wild to think anyone would proudly display that sign. The only update that we have for Marilyn is that September of this year, some fucking assholes in California who owned the trust that her home is in filed papers to try and demolish it. Council member Tracy Park rushed against the clock. According to LA Times, council member Tracy Park rushed against the clock to save Monroe's final residence after learning Wednesday that the owner, Glory of the Snow Trust, had requested a permit to have the iconic Spanish colonial residence demolished. Unfortunately, she said, it's good. They sprung into action. The Department of Building and Safety had issued the demolition permit before her team could fully intervene and get it resolved, but they were able to come in and have it declared by the city council as a, like, historical and cultural moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Temporarily.
And it buys you time?
Buys them time.
If we get a petition together to get that happening, we'll get the signatures.
Oh, 100%. Many locals weighed in on the matter during the public comment portion of the meeting, slamming the urgency around preserving Marilyn's home while the city faces a homeless crisis, while others spoke to the importance of honoring the woman by saving the home. I think it's a weird leg to stand on, be like, the homeless people, they're not building a homeless shelter there. That's not.
Yeah.
If they were, then yes. Okay. I understand. And actually, Marilyn Monroe would totally be down with that. She would for a shelter for the homeless, especially homeless children. She'd be all about that.
I bet she would be like, yeah, turn the home into something like that.
Yeah. But that's, you know, that's not what they were going to do.
Yeah, no.
So, the passage immediately triggered a temporary stay on demolition permit, and the city's building department had approved just the day before. According to city records, September 7th, the building department approved the demolition of the single-family home, attached garage, pool house, and storage. Records also show plans to backfill the existing pool. So they plan to just, like, completely change it.
I wonder what was planned to go in there.
Me too. I don't have any information on what was planned to go there. As of now, I believe that it is still under historical and cultural monument protection, but we should look into that more and maybe see if we can contact Tracy Park, council member Tracy Park, or something.
We should.
One update on Havana Syndrome. The most recent and thorough examination resulted in a report that was released March of 2023 by the Director of National Intelligence. He was basically like, there's no evidence that any foreign country is doing this. This is most likely just pre-existing medical conditions, conventional illnesses, environmental factors, and sort of people freaking themselves out. Hysteria. Basically.
I feel like James messaged us about this update not too long ago, or something related to Havana syndrome.
He did. Yeah. So that's why I had to include a little thing.
Thanks, James. James has been with us since the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. James is an OG. So yeah, that's the only update on Havana syndrome. If anything else pops up, I will be sure to let y'all know. So this has been an issue. Greenwashing in fashion. Mm. Companies running sort of like programs or new things that they're doing that seem like they're doing good or are going to do good when in reality they don't. CNBC says that fast fashion retailers like Zara, Shein, and H&M are now going to be using resale platforms as a way to hopefully reduce their carbon footprints, but the programs are projected to do little to reduce emissions, a new study released on Tuesday found. Brands could be more effective to reduce their toll on the environment if they redirected those efforts to their supply chain, such as using more sustainable materials or investing in recycling innovations, according to that analysis. Shout out again, CNBC. What's up? So this has been going around a lot of social medias and a lot of TikToks and stuff. You and I have talked about it a little bit. It's the Fashion Accountability Report by Remake. So this is an assessment of 58 of the world's largest companies across fast fashion, luxury, and big box retails, including sustainable alternatives. These are companies with an annual revenue of over $100 million. And that because of their size and purchasing power, have the most influence and responsibility to create systemic changes that the fashion industry so critically needs in order to achieve its climate and social justice goals. This is directly from Remake's website.
I mean facts.
Yes. This year, 17 companies, so 17 of the 58, 29%, engaged actively in this process. American Eagle Outfitters, Boohoo Group, Burberry, Everlane, Fast Retailing, Gap, Inditex, J. Crew, Levi's, Primark, Reformation, REI, Rothy's, Shein, VF Corp, Victoria's Secret, and Walmart. They all participated. Amazon and Best Seller just actively didn't respond.
Of course.
Yeah. The other groups are all listed. It would just be a lot to list out.
Yeah.
But we will have the link for this report in our show notes.
Before anyone yells at us, I think it's Primark.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I think it's like an English thing.
Oh.
I think. People are going to yell at me too. Come into my DMs if I'm wrong. Tell me.
Don't come into mine. I don't care. About a company? No, I'm sorry. They're not the ones who deserve my respect into like trying to figure out how to say things. I'll focus on like actual human beings' names and like cultural important things. That matters.
That's more important.
Yeah. This shit? No. Also, like same with like Shein. I don't know if that's actually how you say it. Whatever. Don't give a shit. Whatever.
Shein.
Yeah. Sean. Who knows? I do know that Fashion Nova is on this list. Mm-hmm. I know that because they'll come up in a second. So this is the list that everyone's been talking about on social media, where Fenty, Rihanna's company, rated worse than Shein, Amazon, Walmart, and Fashion Nova. So this is on a scale of 150 points. Fenty came in at 4. Shein came in at 8. Amazon at 7, Walmart at 6, and Fashion Nova also with a 4. The reasons that they listed Fenty as so low, and I'm specifically talking about this because a lot of people are making videos about like Fenty came in lower than Shein. So I just want to kind of explain how that happened.
Yeah, like how it's measured.
So Remake explains that the scorecard for the brand concludes that the company, quote, blatantly disregards industry standards when it comes to social and environmental disclosures, merely noting on its website that products are, quote, imported, end quote. The company doesn't report on its carbon emissions or indicate any carbon reduction targets. Most of its products use oil-based synthetic materials, and the brand has no clear targets to move away from these materials.
Okay.
Alarmingly, Savage X Fenty lacks an even supplier code of conduct to define guidelines for assessing factories' compliance with international labor standards, especially in regards to workers' health and safety. This disconnect is striking. We see a brand profiting from using feminism and inclusivity as core elements of making its marketing and branding strategies, while at the same time neglecting to put in place basic safeguards to protect workers in its supply chain, 80% of whom are women, end quote.
It's disappointing.
It's very disappointing. I'm texting you now, Ash, a picture of the categories and a breakdown of how they score these things.
Okay.
So you get 42 points for governance, 42 points for environmental justice, 20 points for raw materials, 15 for commercial practices, 23 for wages and well-being, and 8 points for traceability. The only points that Fenty got were in governance. Otherwise, everything else they got 0 points in. And a lot of that is because of the materials they use and their failure to disclose a lot of their other information. This is not me saying, like, don't buy Rihanna's clothes at all.
It's just saying maybe a bit more transparency would be nice.
More transparency would be nice. And this is for me to highlight the things that we see online, the campaigns that we see online are not the truth. Like, it feels so silly to say because, like, of course we know that. But if you had asked anyone what they thought behind the scenes about Savage X Fenty, they would not have said any of this. And that's because of the advertising that these companies put out. And I would just encourage you all to stop using things like Shein as the example of people being treated horribly, and it's happening in other countries, because they're rated better than Amazon, and that's right fucking here. They're rated better than Walmart. Disney is on this list. They don't have double digit points, my pals. The average number on this list was like 14 was the average score.
That's crazy.
The highest score was upsettingly low. Keep that in mind. In your purchasing, keep that in mind when you're on your little soapboxes. Everything is bad. But all it takes is just like a little bit of research and you can get really important information. We know that boycotts work. Fucking look at Starbucks right now. They just lost like $11 million or something. I think it was more than that. They're bleeding money. It's amazing.
There are multiple reasons to boycott Starbucks.
So many.
I've been boycotting them for a long time because of their union busting.
Their anti-union shit. Yeah.
Yep. All I'm seeing right now, I just want you to know, is cat hair.
I know. Beetlejuice just walked in front of my computer and there's nothing I can do about it. I tried to move him, but it wasn't going to happen.
Is this the side? Is this the butt? What part of the cat am I getting?
The side. It was the side. You're good. Don't worry. The final update that I have for y'all tonight, this ended up being a way longer episode than I thought it was going to be.
I just looked down at the time and I was like, oh, wow, we're 54 minutes in.
I wanted to give y'all like a lengthy episode as a thank you for your patience in my lack of energy since I started school in May. I have been so tired. The last update I have is fun. Question mark?
Yay!
Question mark. Billy McFarland, who ended up in federal prison for 4 years after bilking investors and ticket buyers out of more than $26 million for his bullshit fire festival, is back on his bullshit grind. He's out there. McFarland, who was released back into the world March of 2022 and still owes $26 million in restitution, is resurrecting his dream of putting together an bigger and better Caribbean Coachella with the unveiling of Firefest 2.
Oh, no. No.
My immediate question was addressed by the article in the LA Times, quote, no where, oh, excuse me, by the article and NPR. Quote, nowhere in the conditions of McFarland's release does it say that he can't do this, end quote. Larry Levine, his lawyer, told NPR, reading from McFarland's court documents.
I feel like that should have been a stipulation of release. Like, you have to stop scamming people. You
can't do music festivals anymore.
You can't do this anymore. Clearly you're not good at this. Stop.
If we were in a TV show, that would have for sure been a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's all I know. Firefest 2 is set to happen in the Caribbean on Friday, December 6, 2024. Gate is set to open at 12 p.m. He has yet to provide any further details about musical acts, a venue, or really anything. But if someone gets a ticket, I will go with you.
At least this time you can pack, like, camping gear just in case.
I'm gonna come with, like, full camping gear, and I wanna go there and film shit as if I'm Bear Grylls, or show up in just like full Hunger Games attire.
Oh my god. Bow and arrow.
I think I might actually need more people to come in full Hunger Games attire.
I'm there.
Because that would be so fun. If we could get someone to, like, play the Capitals, like, anthem or whatever, and then do a countdown, and then just scream, like, the first annual Hunger Games has begun, it would be hilarious. Because tickets are, of course, close to $1,000. The first round sold out so fucking fast, because everyone's like, yes.
They need to know. I think we're all doing this out of curiosity.
Oh, we got to know. Scam Goddess, my fucking hero, Lacey Mosley, was like, I need to go.
So we link up with her and go together.
I would die.
Tell her about the Hunger Games idea.
Oh, you know what? I'll tweet at her, actually. We did have a brief interaction on Twitter at one point as her and someone I love dearly, someone you love dearly, Stephen Ray Morris, was on her podcast. And they were talking about the Lizzie McGuire movie. And they're like, isn't it just so crazy that they were in high school and all of this happened? And I tweeted at them and I was like, my dudes, Lizzie McGuire was in middle school.
Middle school.
That is
her. She was graduating middle school.
Graduation that she ends on an international stage in front of, at the Coliseum.
Sing to me, Paolo.
Actually, I imagine that was Firefest. She might have been singing at Firefest, now that I think about it. Because the idea of a about to be ninth grader singing in the Coliseum. Because that's where the show is as unbelievable as Billy McFarland pulling together Firefest 2.
I mean,
same level of believable. Those are my updates. I hope to one day be updating you from Firefest 2. Because that is what dreams are made of.
This is what dreams are made of.
That is my episode. Next week, be emotionally prepared to learn about Henry Kissinger.
And war crimes.
And war crimes.
We'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye.
For any photos related to today's episode, please go to our Instagram.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at AL2KPodcast.
Like us on Facebook at Always the Last to Know Podcast.
If you have any questions, please email us at AL2KPodcast@gmail.com.
Please share, rate, and review us on your podcast listening app of choice.
Join our Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/AL2KPodcast or click the link in our bio on social media.
Thanks for listening.